Okay, so let's recap what we did so far. We learned the two psukim inside, we learned Rashi, we learned the Mitzudos, and we only learned half of the Radak. Not even half of the Radak. So let's pick up where we left off in the Radak. Radak's on page 403. We went through the many major themes. Radak, in the few words, he mentioned many ideas, including the idea that Yoina, this expression, which is very critical to understand the entire Sefer. It's a very nice hakdama to the entire Sefer. Yoina, his words are from the Mechilta, Yoina tova kivoid habein v'loi tova kivoid ha'av. Okay, that's the hakdama, that's the key words of the entire Sefer. Yoina was to the honor of the child. Who's the child? Klal Yisrael. That if he would indeed go on the mission and give Musa to Nineveh, and they would do Teshuvah immediately, that would be a kitroik on Klal Yisrael, who refuses to do Teshuvah even after many attempts. So that's not going to be good. Therefore, he did not want that Klal Yisrael should suffer. So he's Teveya the Kvoid Ha Bein. However, that came at the expense of he was not concerned for Hashem's honor, because by not giving Musa to Nineveh, that meant that people in this world are not acknowledging Hashem's existence. So it was a nice thing to do, to be Kaveh the Kvoid Habein, but not the Kvoid Ha'av. Obviously, Yoina did not bother him. It's like almost as if he's willing to give up his neshama, not just his body. He's willing to violate Hashem's words for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And we discussed this very, very fascinating concept, is that, Yoina, what do you think? You think that if you're not going to go, it's not going to happen? Hashem will get a replacement in a moment's notice. No one in this world is indispensable. Hashem will get, you'll get someone else. And yet, no. Yonah says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm holding you up because there is no one else but me. I'm the only guy that can do this, which is a shocking thing. As we discuss at length, that how do we compare this to the story of the Megillah? So obviously, Elu V'Elu, there are times when indeed a person is indispensable, and there are times, or there are elements, dimensions in every single mission where a person, you know, who needs you? I'll get someone else. Very, very fascinating hakdama to the Sefer from the Radak. Okay, and then we discussed the next concept, that he paid a very heavy price. And the price was, Vahidra Hashem el Yoina Sheinis V'loi Shlishis. That Hashem said, you're going to be punished. After everything is said and done, when the story is over, you're going to suffer. Because, which reveals to us a very fascinating insight, which we would not necessarily know otherwise, that when Hashem establishes a connection with a Navi to perform a mission, once a Navi, you're always a Navi. That line of communication is never shut down. We may not have a book, a sefer, to learn about all of the conversations that took place subsequent to the event that the Navi was the mission that is recorded in the Nevi'im, but the Navi always continue to maintain a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a level that's beyond our understanding. The notable exception is Yonah. Yonah was a Navi, and he was recruited to achieve a result, a mission, to go on a mission. And when the mission was over, he was dismissed. Why? Because of his disrespect for Hashem, Toivea the Kvoit Habein V'loi Kvoit Ha'af. That's a very, very amazing thing to take out of the Radak. Okay, now let's go further. We're up to, let's start from Rav Hoksiv. The Hikshu. Okay, let's start from, he's in the middle of this idea. It's, if you look on the page 403 in the Radak, in the first big paragraph, that chunk, on the left side, if you go to a Latoiva and you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines, the word Vihikshu. Vihikshu, and they have asked, we mentioned that Hashem only spoke to him twice, not a third time. He was dismissed. Vihikshu, really? V'loi v'yog siv, says in the Pasuk, Asher Dibar b'yad avdo yoyna ben amitai hanavi. Okay, so it says in Sefer Melachim, we mentioned this in the Mitzvah, we mentioned this, another Inyan Hakdama that we mentioned is that Yonah, he's this not his only thing that he did. Yonah had many missions. And Yonah in Sefer Melachim, in time of Yeravan ben Yoyosh, he predicted that he will succeed in war. So you see that even though, the Gemara Masech Yivamis, by asking this question, is making an assumption that Yonah, that story in Melachim took place later, afterwards. So if indeed it took place afterwards, it wasn't Shane, Hashem did not shut him down. Hashem allowed him to continue in his role. This Teretzu, al iske ninve. So one answer is that indeed he had other missions. Other missions were given to Yonah that took place at a later point in time, specifically in the time of Yeravan ben Yoash. However, he was shut down from gaining inside information regarding Nineveh. Nineveh was only Shenis v'loy Shelishis. Umehemam, or another answer, Lo Dibrimo Elabidvar Ninve Vloy Bidavar Acher Elapam Shenis Vloy Shlishis, Umasha Amasha Dibra Biat Abdu Biyoda Benamitai, Rotalema Kamosh Nisabik Lemben Ninve, Mero Ole Toiva. Just like in Ninve, there was an overturning from Ra to good. Kach, we may Yerova Ben Yoash Nisabik Lohem Mero Ole Toiva. In other words, in the second answer of the Radak, indeed Hashem never spoke to Yonah to deliver a message regarding Yeravam ben Yoash. The pasuk there just means that just like years ago, there was a story when Nineveh was destined to be destroyed and miracles happen, good things happen, so too, in the time of Yeravam ben Yoash, likewise, things were not good, and it was miraculous that things turned around for the better. The reason why the pasuk there mentions Nineveh was that's because the people were able to relate to that story. It appears that the story of Nineveh was fresh in the minds of the people living at that particular time. So when the Nevi'im were speaking to Klal Yisrael and telling them what's going to happen, they were saying, just like everyone here in the room knows the story of Nineveh, and you know that in Nineveh things were not good, and yet miraculously things turned around. So too, the same thing is going to happen when it comes to the story of Yeravam and Yoash. There was a battle, they were under attack, and a chunk of land was taken away from Klal Yisrael, and it was a supernatural battle where things came back because they did teshuvah. So that's all it means there, but it does not mean that Yonah actually gave over a message in the name of Hashem to the people in that time, in that event, because the pasuk here says, Sheinis, which we interpret, V'loy Shlishis, he was shut out, he was closed out. Okay. Now, V'Navi Zekei, now, okay, that ends that section. Okay, there's, as we said, enormous amount of information that has been relayed to us in that chunk of Radak. Now we go to more matters of introduction. V'Navi Zekei Mishevet Zevulun. Ooh, okay, so right away he's getting himself into a lot of trouble here. Okay, right away he's telling us which shevet. We always like to identify the yichus, the lineage of the Nevi'im. Yonah, he says, came from Shevet Zevulun, min hanira. Why? Because it says here in the pasuk, in the pasuk base, right? What does it say in the pasuk base? Kum lech Nineveh, ha'ir hagadilu k'ro lecha. Where we had before the word he came from Gas? We quoted that. I forgot already. It says elsewhere that he came from Gas ha'chefer. Okay, it says in Sefer, okay, we'll come back to Melachim.
It says in the Sefer Melachim where it says there before,
the other Nevuah, okay, that we mentioned before, it says that he came from this place called Gas HaChefer. What is Gas HaChefer? Hoyashem Iroi, that is a city located in the territory of Zevulun. Uvechelek Zevulun Hoya Kemo Shekasov, Yeshua Gita HaChefer, Ita Kotzin, with it, Ita There are leaders. Okay, whatever that pasuk there means, I do not know, but it's clear from that pasuk that it was located in Zvulun. Now that's very interesting because Yonah's all about a fish. It's all about L'choif Yanim Yishkan. We always learn that Zvulun were the merchants, and their business was traveling the world and buying merchandise cheap and coming back and selling it at a higher price. So importers, and maybe even exporters, whatever they did, but L'choif Yanim Yishkan. They live on the seas. They travel the world. So therefore, it's very fitting that Yonah was swallowed up by a fish, which also travels the seas. Matza min es minai, two of a kind. Yonah was very comfortable in that fish because that's what he was used to. What's the difference being in a boat or being on a ocean liner? You know, he was in a big fancy ocean liner in that.
Submarine,
very good. He was in a submarine versus being on a cruise on an ocean liner. Only difference is that on the ocean liner they had better food for Pesach. Okay, whatever it is, but this is something very, very interesting because we're going to learn soon that we have many other opinions as to which Shevet Yonah came from. I think we already mentioned that many hold that he came from Shevet Asher, which is also very striking. Because his primary nevuah was Nineveh, the capital of the Malchus of Ashur. And you can't ignore the fact that Shevet Asher and Malchus of Ashur are the same exact letters. What does that mean? What does the word Ashur mean? Happy? Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, Odi Halalucha Selah. Fortunate, worthy of praise, happy. There are many complex translations for the word Asher. She called him, Leah called her son Asher, ki ishruni banois. All of the girls are going to be happy. What does that mean? Okay, so this we have to wait a little bit, but yeah.
The interesting thing is, on this map, the one that Judea Press, Zvulun is placed in God's paper, is placed in north central Israel,
okay.
Not on the coast, and Asher is on the coast.
On the coast. Right, that's one of the big questions. We always think that Zvulun is along the Mediterranean, because L'choif Yamish, well, he's not. He's in the middle. Unless you have other versions, there are different opinions exactly where is the territory of Zvulun. But you're right, in Echanami, is saying very good is that here it would fit better, because Asher is along the Mediterranean, so it's not a kash that he was swallowed by a fish, because he lived right near the fish. Whereas Zvulun was in the center of Eretz Yisrael, but on the other hand, Zvulun were the experts in traveling the seas. So there's this synthesis that both, you know, they both complement one another. Obviously, it's not a kash because Elu v'Elu divrei Elokim Chaim. Every person's yichus. You come from a mother and a father, and you come from mother and father and from parents. Get the joke? Mothers like the Rebbe that says to the kid, and you, my father, always he said to me, always remember the Rebbe was fuming mad, and he gave a frask to one of the kids in RJJ, and he said, "Get out of the yeshiva, and don't you come back until you bring your mother, your father, or one of your parents." A slip of the tongue. So a person comes from multiple parents, multiple grandparents, and obviously in a person's blood there is a complex mix of many shvatim. Even though we would seem that in ancient times they did not intermarry, they did not necessarily, it wasn't ideal to marry a girl from a different shevet because It was mutter right away.
It was mutter.
After the Nachla, after they established Nachla, it was mutter. Then there was a ban, there was a curse on Shevet Binyamin, but that was also lifted. So, but even though it's mutter, does not necessarily mean it was done. Because by doing you're creating a lot of complicated issues. With Nachla, different minhagim, you eat gebrochs, you don't eat gebrochs. You have a lot of wars, religious wars. You're creating a lot of halachic, a lot of, sorry, it does not seem it was very popular to marry a girl from a different shevet. However, of course, we have no doubt in our minds that it was done. And when it comes to the Nevi'im, when it comes over here to Yonah, there's no doubt about it. You have so many commentators telling us all different shvatim we came from. Obviously, this did happen in his lineage. And who else do we have this? Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was from many shvatim, many conflicting. Of conflicting Mamori Chazal. So obviously he came from a mixed marriage. A mixed marriage going back, you know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and he had in him blood, dominant blood, which came forth, the midah of each shevet came forth in different capacity throughout in the various stories that we know about him. So here as well, that's a very important yisoid. Now he goes next paragraph. The yesh lisha, lamanich levon nevuzo, b'kisvei HaKodesh. Now he's coming to Chepa. Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla. The Radak doesn't take anything sitting down. Everything is an issue. So why is Sefer Yonah included in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh? The Yesh Lishol. Lama Nichtav Nevuzo B'Kisvei HaKodesh. V'kula Al Ninvei Shehoysa Me'umais Ha'olam. What relevance is this for Klal Yisrael? He's introducing here an incredible Yisoid. That the Chof Dalet is an assumption. The Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh has only to do with us. It has nothing to do. The primary focus is Klal Yisrael. Tanakh is not a study for non-Jews. That's his premise. That's the premise upon which he builds his question. The Ein by Zecher Li Yisrael. There is no Zecher for Klal Yisrael. The Ein B'chol HaNevim Zulasa Kamoa. There is no equivalent. You'll find every Navi speaks about the Umos HaOlam, but that's just a small part. The thrust of all of the Nevi'im is to speak about Klal Yisrael and Derech Agaf. Incidentally, we throw in a few lines about the Umos HaOlam. But here we have a Nevuah that is only focused on one nation, on the Goyim. It does nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. V'nuchal afarish, kinichlevan lios musul Yisrael. So he comes to say, that's right. Hashem is using this as a tool, as a method to give Musa to Li Yisrael. Shari Am Nochri She'ena Mi Yisrael Ha'yikrav L'shuv. Look at this. A non-Jewish nation who knows from nothing, did not stand at Har Sinai, did not witness the miracles of the Exodus. And look how easy it was for them to do Teshuvah. U'v'pam Hori She'ena She'ha'yichicham Hanavi Shavu B'shuvah Shlema Meira Asam. The first Musa, the first words of rebuke, triggered a teshuvah movement which was successful. The Yisrael, and yet in contrast, the Jewish people, Moichichim, Oysam, HaNevim, Hashkem, VeHa'arev. They are chastised by the Nevi'im every day, early in the morning to late at night, day after day, year after year. The Einam Shavim Me Risham. They refuse to do true from the evil ways. So therefore, that's the answer. That this is a nothing more than a Musar Haskel for us. It's one of a kind. One of a kind. Look at someone else. You look at someone else. Maybe it should make an impression upon you. To teach us a miracle. Shahaya bimei hadag shloisha yamim ushloisha leilois v'chai. Another chiddush. The only reason why this whole story here is to reveal to us the miracle that a human being was able to survive in a fish for 3 days and three nights. Because he was a navi. The oyd shehikiyoy hadag chai, and the fish swallowed, spit him out alive. Lalame to teach us, Shoakel Yisbrach, Choymel al Balei Teshuva, Me'eze Am Sheyu. Hashem has compassion upon a Baal Teshuv from any nation that he comes from. Umoiche Lohem, Vikol Shekein Kishehem Rabim, certainly if there are many. And Hashem will go to extreme measures in order to bring people Lidei Teshuva. And if that's so for non-Jews, how much more so is that for religious, for Klal Yisrael, for people who have the greatest yichus, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, this little section over here is unbelievable. It's a nice little thing to put on the brochure for any Baal Teshuva organization, Lev La'achim, Yad La'achim, even you want to talk about NCSY, talk about all these organizations that are...
What is your slogan here?
What?
What is your slogan in this?
No slogan, but this, I don't have a slogan, but look what it says here. Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did, the Holy, he's telling us a chiddush. The only reason why this entire Sefer is written is to reveal how much it means to Hashem for a person to do teshuvah. Even for a non-Jew, and Hashem will perform miracles that we've never heard of, seen before. A person will survive in a fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and be spit out alive in order so that he can survive and influence another human being, a non-Jew, to do teshuvah. So you see the value of getting someone in this world to be choizer b'shuva. It's a very, very reassuring sefer for people involved in this profession who often feel neglected, feel that their work is just a waste of time because the rate of success is not all that great and the appreciation for what they've done is almost zero. Okay, this is also for Chabad. Who are you forgetting about Chabad? They're probably the bigger. How can I forget Chabad? They go out into the world and the effort they put in for people doing teshuva, you know, it's very, very great. Their attitude, obviously, is that a person to put on a pair of tefillin, and they know, they're not foolish, they know you take a guy who has tattoos, riding on a Harley Davidson motorcycle, and you pull him over, and you ask when you're Jewish, and he puts on tefillin for a moment, he's going back to his old way of life in 10 seconds like nothing ever happened. However, every so often in his mind, it will linger, I put on tefillin. He'll have that thought maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and that little thought, I put on a pair of tefillin. He'll have a little pride. And that little machshava will bring him to Olam Haba. No matter what. No matter what he does in his life. And there's no expectation he's going to become the next Chazon Ish by pulling him over and putting on tefillin. But that machshava is worth it. And that's really their argument why a lot of people who disagree with their approach, and they say it's not kedai for you to go and give up your whole life and all, and you'll never daven with it. You're not going to daven with a minion, and you're going to struggle with chinuch habanim, and you're not going to have kosher food. What do you need this for? The shlichus to go out into your huppets. For what? So a guy on a motorcycle should put on a pair of tefillin for 1 second? Is it really worth it? Is that what you're going to devote your life to? And the answer is yes. For those few moments, it's worth it. It's worth all of the mesiras nefesh to go out into the wild blue yonder, a place where no one has gone before, just to find a spark of holiness, even though it's a dead end, to give him that moment that he can be proud of. And if you want to look for a source, that a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael, strong, they don't hold from this. We know that. They don't know from this. They hold that Adrabah, sit and be mechazik yourself, reach the highest level, work on yourself, you'll become, that will create a magnetic force in this world that person on the other end of the world on his motorcycle will wake up and be maharer b'shuva. That's the opposite approach. If you focus and work hard on yourself, you create magnetism, spiritual magnetism. Your sanctity where you are radiates, and there will be people out in the other end of the world that will be mela beharer b'shuva. That is an extreme opposite approach to the mahalech of Chabad. To know, forget about yourself, go out, get out into the field, get your hands dirty, go out there and give the people the tefillin. Okay, this has been a machlekes throughout the generation, it's been a machlekes at least the last century. But if you want to go look at a support to the Mahalach of Chabad, I mean, here's a pretty powerful pretty powerful statement of the Radak, which the Chabad can certainly exploit to their approach in how valuable it is for a person to be maharer, to come to a level of teshuv. These are goyim. Then they are goyim. They're garnished. They're nothing. By the way, Chazal tell us, very frightening, that after they did teshuvah, they were chazar l'suroi. They went back to their old ways very quickly, and Hashem destroyed them. So what's the purpose of all this? If they did teshuvah, the melech he got off the chair, he put on sackcloth, he did teshuvah, he was in the papers, the whole Ninveh, they did teshuvah. How long did it last? A week, a couple of weeks, a few days. And then, business as usual. And what happened? Sodom v'Amora. Hashem obliterated them off the face of the earth. So what was the purpose? You know what the purpose was? Those few moments, those few days was worth it all. It was worth it for those few days. They left this world. At least their neshamos of the goyim had a hakara of the Ribbono shel Olam, had an appreciation of doing teshuvah. So al achas kama v'kama ben binoy shel kal v'chomer achenu bnei Yisrael, who come from the greatest yichus, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And forget about the fact that many of them come from Rishonim, from Rashi, and from the Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosfos, and from the Vilna Gaon, and from the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. And here they are in the middle of nowhere, have absolutely nothing. They zero. And you give them a few moments of holiness. You know, al achas kama v'kama, what Yonah did for Goyim, just for a couple of days. That's what it says. We'll see probably later on. It was a mamish, a few moments, the whole thing. They did teshuvah, back to their old ways, but it was still worth it. Those few moments you take with you to the next world. It's a very powerful limud musar. Not to, at least, one thing.
That's what the Gemara deals with, why Amalek, the Rishis Goyim Amalek, because they have to Shamalam in your Gozer, and the world was, you know, had a disbelief system in God for a short time, and Goyim, you know, and then Amalek sort of destroyed the moment by attacking the Jews.
The very least you take out of this is that even though you're like, let's say you're Chabad, many people, it's not for me. It's not for, I look at Chabad. I'm not, this is not me. I'm not interested in going out into who knows where and setting up a tent and becoming, it doesn't appeal to me. I can't do it. But just because I don't have shaychus to this, but I have to have respect. I have to have the greatest respect for people who do this, who believe in this. You can't just, it's a sin to dismiss them. Oh, Meshagas, what are you doing out there? This, that, what are you going to accomplish over there? So people have a tendency, if this is not what you do, what you believe in, if it's not your derech in life, so it's my way or the highway. Everyone else is wrong, they're foolish, they're wasting their time. My derech is the only derech. Okay, that's the least you take out of this is that's not so. Ayin panim l'toira, and look at the value of what they are doing. Look at the value of Yonah, and it may not be for you, may not be for your children, and your where you come from. Okay, but have respect for someone else's way hashkafa, way of life. It's very very honorable and very noble, and they have over here incredible support from the story of Yonah. Now let's go further. Okay, let's go. Let's see Pasuk Beis in the Radak. Pasuk Beis, Kum Lech El Ninveh, Ukra Alecha Ki Olsa Ra'asam Lefonai. Go to Ninveh and call out to them. Ki Olsa Ra'asam Lefonai V'loy Kasev Ma Yikra Alecha. It does not say here in the Pasuk what the message is. It just says Ukra. We discussed this. What does it mean the word Ukra? Okay, we spent a lot of time on this. Ukra means like Baal Korea. Do you say, is it just read the text, read the script, or does it mean inject in the script emotion? We had the Machloikis Rashi and the Mitzudois here. The Radak is also taking note that it's a curious word. Where do we have by other Nevi'im Yeshaya, Yecheskel, and Yirmiya, started the other Treyasar. Where do we have that? Yeah, this idea. Ukra. Go out there to the people at Ukra and read to them the following message. What?
Proclaim.
It's not common by other Nevi'im to have this term used in reference to the delivery of the Nevu'ah. It's a new thing.
Rabbi Abinel says it was the only time ever.
Only time ever. Okay, unbelievable. The only time we have a Navi going out. Normally we have a Navi, he goes, Koyam HaShem, Kechatzoy Salayla, or Chazoyin Yeshaya Ben Amos. We find them just saying it, getting into the swing of things. Here, Hashem, I want you Ukra. Everyone on the page is very shaken. What's going on over here? So the Radak also says what he wants to say, Ela Ma'ela. V'loi kasa ma'yikra alecha. Ela mimasha kora alecha basoif. V'ninve ne poches. The message is at the end, Paragimel, because we're going to see over here, he's being very technical. The Radak over here is not coming really to give us, it does not appear at face value to be telling us something very, very deep. He's just saying over here that we have a long way to go here. We're only up to Perek Aleph, and there's a lot of information over here. What was the message? You got to be patient. The message comes in Perek Gimel. That is where the word Ukra will be applied to. V'ninve nepoches lomanu kizos hakriya omalo sheyikra oleha. And Perek Gimel will be the message that is being mentioned here. Okay, next page 405, on the left side. On the top, another paragraph. Ki also rosam lefanoi lomad ki okel yisparach mashkiach af buumois olam kishetigdal rosam bechamos. Hakadosh Baruch was paying attention. The same way Hashem, we know we have emuna, pays very close attention to every detail of our life. Likewise, Hashem pays attention to the behavior of the umois olam, especially chamos. Violence, theft, the chaim b'dor hamabel, we find the same thing. Of yanshei sedom ki molo haretz chamas, vehechamas mafsid hayishuv. Violence and theft destroys civilization. Veokel yisparach roitze beyishuv oil. Hashem wants the world to be civilized. Wants it to be yishuv. Avol b'shor averos einem chashum lefonav kishayashkiach aleihem ela b'yishol levadom kmo she'amar. Rak eschem yodati mikol mishpachos wadam. Only you do I know. Kemoshe pirashnu b'nevuas omoy. So he says something here that is really explosive. Explosive, which you can certainly bet not everyone agrees with. That when it comes to the umoy sa'olam, Hashem limits. Hashem is limiting his hashkocha. What does that mean exactly? I have no clue. But he says here, the only sin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to amongst the Umayyad Olam to punish them in supernatural ways is Chamas. What is Chamas? Chamas, a very hard word to translate. Extortion doesn't mean outright theft, armed robbery, doesn't mean violence. It's not an easy word to translate. Kimola Ha'aretz Chamas Mipnehem. The hinini mashchisam min haaretz. Rashi melamed shlo nechtam gzar din ela al hagozel. Rashi in Chumash in the Mabul translates the word chamas in a very simple translation: theft, gezel. Doesn't tell us violence. Rashi doesn't say the word extortion, which means you're not really stealing. I'm paying. I am. You have an item, it has a market value. I'm giving you every single penny plus more for this item. The only thing is, you don't want to sell it. Well, you don't have any choice. I want it, I'm going to buy it, I'm going to give you what you want so you can't come and complain later on that you were stolen. It's just, I'm taking it away by force. That's how the word chamas is used in many other contexts. It means extortion, it means violence. Person of violent mishtugim gets up with, goes into a theater and shoots everyone. I mean, you have many different translations in Tanakh for the word violence. But yet, Rashi in Chumash does not say that. Rashi in Chumashi says Melamed Shle Nechtam Gzar Din Ela Al HaGozel. It doesn't say Gozel in the pasuk. It says Kimola Oretz Chomas. Well, Rashi is telling you Chomas means theft. Doesn't different types of theft, extortion, this, that, armed robbery, violence, theft. So what does it mean over here? I don't know. And whatever it means, and the Radak is saying, well, Rashi didn't say that. That's the problem. Rashi limited, severely limited the meaning, the possible translations of the word Chomas to one very simple word, Gezel.
Extortion is Gezel. All these categories are linked to each other.
But it has a different connotation.
Gezel
extortion
is a general term.
Okay, you want everything is included. All the different... So Chomas is very general. So why didn't Rashi just say Chomas? Just say Chomas. Why did Rashi have to say Gezel? I don't know. You're right. Let's just leave it as an open question. But whatever it is, it's a word which has many meanings. It's a multifaceted word. And in this word, the Radak is telling us an awesome chiddush. That is very, don't take this sitting down, what he's saying over here. He's coming to limit Hashem's intervention in the Hanhaga, how he deals with the Umay Sa'olam. Hashem is not going to get involved. You do whatever you want, do any aver you want. Is Gili Arayas Chomos? I don't know. You're stealing a woman from her husband. Are you not? You're stealing her loyalty. A woman is loyal to her husband. And by you intervening and having a relationship with her, you're also stealing her away. But we don't use the term Chomos in reference to Gili Arayos. Yeah?
Yeah. I think what he's saying is that whatever is covered under Chomos causes the complete breakdown of society.
He says that, right.
And therefore,
Mafsid HaYishuv,
Hashem, you know, stops short of letting them completely... Self-destruct, either that or get rid of that portion that is destroying society. Because, you know, we have to live in that world too. So
well, the purpose of creation.
You could say that it's for
our sake.
That it's for our sake. It has to be a broad term.
He doesn't say that. You've added quite a bit into his parish.
Right.
Well, let's say we didn't exist. It's just that they would exist. Or let's say they exist in a way that has absolutely no effect upon us in another part of the world, which, who says that can possibly be? But so let's say that the world will be divided and we have absolutely nothing to do with them. And no matter what they do, even to the environment, has no effect upon us. But if Kadosh Baruch Hu intervene, it has no effect upon us. You're saying no, because since their society has no effect upon us, so Hashem doesn't care.
I don't believe that's even possible.
Oh, so you're saying it's not, the reason why is because it's not possible. But theoretically speaking, if it would be possible, that their part of the world has no effect upon us, theoretically speaking, so what you're suggesting is that Hashem would not intervene. Because it's only for us.
But
is that correct?
Nowadays, that wouldn't work, but in their time, it might have worked.
One continent had nothing to do with the other. Okay, so, but let's just talk theoretically, right? So theoretically, so you're saying does Hashem care about his creatures to the degree where he will prevent them from destroying themselves, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with his chosen nation, Klal Yisrael? The Radak did not mention this.
But he sees the God, everything is timeless. In other words, no concept of time. So he's seeing the future that he does. There is a world economy.
Okay, so you're saying practically speaking it's impossible to separate the two. I agree with you. But let's talk in the world of theory. Theoretically speaking, if it was possible that Moshe Rabbeinu Vayithen koi v'koi, nothing good will come out of this fellow. Let us say you'll have a society in this world that will never have any effect whatsoever upon Klal Yisrael. And they are at the verge of implosion because of Chomos. Will Hashem intervene? So Michal, you're suggesting no. No, Hashem will not intervene because it all has to come back to Klal Yisrael. That's a chiddush because they're still Hashem's creatures. They're still Hashem's creatures.
But the premise that...
But he doesn't... Okay, I don't know.
Klal Yisrael
Okay. Okay, so this it's a very interesting idea.
The rain for 40 days or 40 nights, the reason Rashi was Gezel, because it's 40.
Big Rashi 40. What's Gematria 40?
Gezel.
Oh, Gezel is the Gematria 40.
So it rained 40 days and 40 nights.
Very interesting.
I just thought of it now.
You're a numbers person.
Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday's daf was about the money shall arboim sloim. Yeah, interesting. Okay, the number 40 is an interesting number. Okay, so let's now. Okay, that concludes Radak. Let's now look at the Malbum. Okay, let's look at the Malbum. Malbum on page 402. Okay, so let's see the Malbum's take on the Hakdama to Sefer Yoina. Vayhidra Hashem el Yoina Amr Chazal. Sheyoina ben Amitai Chayim Mitzad Imoy Bishavit Osher. Okay, so that's what we just finished with the Radak. Radak just made a blanket statement that he came from Shevet Zevulun. And immediately the Malbim says, "No, he came from Shevet Asher. V'hu chayev ben ho'isha ho'almona shekilkelo es Eliyahu v'she'eliyahu hechiyahu." Incredible hakdama to tell us who is this child. The child is the Ben Hashunamis. Okay, this isha, we all know the story. We learned in the Haftarah. We learned the story about the isha Hashunamis, where this woman was kind to Eliyahu. And she provided three things: a bed, a mita, and a ner. She built an annex to her home. I'm sorry, you're right, that's Elisha. So this is a very similar story. This is a very similar story with Elio and Elisha. Say very similar story.
And the
same exact thing happened. V'hu ha'ya ben ha'isha ha'almanu sh'tokil das Elio v'sh'elio hechiyahu. And that woman was childless, and he gave her a bracha. She had a child, and the child died. He came back, and there was Tchiyas HaMesim. Umitzad, now that obviously reveals to us when a person is a product of such an event, that event, which was the cause of his existence, obviously affects his entire mission. I'll give you an example. I always like to say this. You can say whatever you want. What is the mother of all yeshivas? The mother of all modern yeshivas today. What was the first yeshiva? I'm not talking about maybe Shubin Gamla time, the Gemara. Voloshin. The Voloshina yeshiva. Okay, Rav Chaim Voloshin was the first one to establish a yeshiva. And basically in modern times, every single yeshiva in the world is rooted in the Voloshina yeshiva. How was he born? What's the story with his birth? Very fascinating story. Rav Chaim Voloshin, he had parents like anyone else. I don't know all the details about, but the Shagas Aryeh was traveling, and he was passing through Voloshin. I'm assuming
he was
the father. The Shagas Aryeh was the Rav in Voloshin, and the Shagas Aryeh was traveling, I guess, and he stayed over one night in the home of the parents of Rav Chaim Mivoloshin. And Shagas Aryeh was up the whole night learning. In the morning, the father, the husband of the Balabayis of this home, told Rav Shagas Aryeh, "I get a mazel tov. My wife gave birth last night, in the middle of the night." So, now, it wasn't like today, where you go off to a hospital, you whistle away, and you come back, and you get a phone call. It meant that she gave birth in his Dalet Amos. The house wasn't like today, many rooms, they all lived in a teeny little, so the husband and wife were in one little section, and Shagas Aryeh was sitting and learning by the table, literally,
a different room.
How big was the house? How big could the house be? It probably wasn't bigger than this half, this section that went over here now. So Rav Shagas Aryeh says, "What are you talking about? I was up the whole night learning. I didn't hear a sound. What kind of nonsense are you telling me? Your wife gave birth. When a woman gives birth, it's traumatic. There was koilos ubrokim. And the baby, and hear the baby cry. What's going on?" So he says, "You know, you're right. My wife really is of the nature where she would really scream quite a bit. But she appreciated, she recognized that who do we have as a guest in our home? Shagas Aryeh. He's sitting and learning. If she's going to scream during labor, she will disturb his learning. So she controlled herself not to make a sound, during her labor in order not to disturb the Shagas Aryeh. So he was blown away. It blew his mind what he heard about this woman. And he immediately gave her a bracha that her child should be, I don't know the exact words, should light up Klal Yisrael. V'kachava. Every single yeshiva today, he established the Volozhiner Yeshiva. He was an innovator. He was an entrepreneur. It's a big business, rabbis. The yeshiva business is a big business. And ultimate startup, he made a yeshiva. And every yeshiva today comes from Chaim Volozhiner. So I like to say, okay, people don't like to hear this, is what do you learn from this? If the whole root of the yeshiva today comes from Chaim Volozhiner, and Chaim Volozhiner has got the brach from the Shagas Aryeh because his mother was quiet, didn't say a peep when he was born, that means every yeshiva's mission should be not to make noise. Don't, the role of a yeshiva is not, the role of a yeshiva is not to be in the news every day, public policy. This is Das Torah. This is what the world has to do. The role of a yeshiva is to sit and learn. To sit quietly, develop, accomplish, create people that are very, very great. And then when they'll leave the yeshiva, they'll go out and make a lot of noise.
That's the role of the yeshiva, but the Rosh Yeshiva is...
the product they produce, when they leave the yeshiva and they go out into the world, adarabah, they should make a lot of noise in the world. But the yeshiva is not in the business of, the yeshiva today is issuing a statement, public policy. We want to make it known to the world, this is correct and this is wrong, that's wrong, and they get involved in politics. That's not a yeshiva. A yeshiva that's in politics, that's not what a yeshiva is. A yeshiva is a place to learn, to develop students. They should steig, they should grow, develop, and when they graduate and they leave the yeshiva, then the talmidim will make noise, but not the yeshiva. When you find the yeshiva is getting too involved in the community, in the public policy, that's not what a yeshiva is. And it's very interesting. A lot of you think about the different examples. I'm not going to go to different examples. It's really true. Yeshiva, you sit and learn. Yeshivas that get involved in politics always are. That's not what your role is. A yeshiva is a place just to learn and develop. There's a time for everything in this life. The noise comes later on. Okay, I just give that as a mashal. People will tell me, oh, you're saying foolish things. Okay, fine. I accept all the mussar. But here, we have here this child. He is the product of Tchiyas HaMeisim. He is a product of, he came back from the other world, whatever that means. He was dead. He was Eliyahu HaNavi, brought him back to life. The impossible. And the mother, the parents, acted with nobility to provide for Eliyahu HaNavi, similar to how the Isha HaShunamis provided for Elisha. Okay? We know the story. We don't even know the story in such detail. We don't know all the details. We just know from the Remez and the Pasuk that the same thing happened by Eliyahu HaNavi. That's another topic. But this, there's a parallel between the story of Elisha and the story of Eliyahu. It was very similar, and we have a right to take some of the details from Elisha and apply it to the Isha, to this woman as well. These, the parents, the child came from a home. That's a very important thing. The fact that parents, they took in Eliyahu HaNavi and they provided for his needs, that itself is an explosive statement. That means it was a child who was a product of a home, not a weed who just grew out in the fields. I actually read yesterday in the Haggadah a very interesting story with the Biyana Rebbe. I don't know which Biyana Rebbe this is. There was the story. I saw this in Rabbi Bender's Haggadah. Rabbi Bender has a lot of nice stories in that Haggadah, and he writes there and made an impression on me. This idea. There was a student in the yeshiva in Biyan in Eretz Yisrael, Chassidusha yeshiva. Actually, I went to visit. I was there. I went on shlichus to the Biyana Rebbe when the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael. and I went on a wild goose chase to track him down. In the process, I went into all the Bate Midrashim, and I saw the yeshiva, and I saw the Talmidim, and I had a whole Lebedika discussion with the Talmidim. It was very, very fascinating. But in the yeshiva, there was a student who was a yosoim from, he had nothing. He never really grew up in a home. His mother died when he was very young, and his father first died, and the mother died, and it was a big family. And he never really grew up in a home. He was like, he grew up in the yeshiva, he grew up, you know, here and there. So when it came time for him to get married, Shidduchim, the Biyana Rebbe told him, you have to come live in my house. I want you for a tekufa, for a significant period of time, to live in my house. I don't want you to live in the dormitory, because you don't even know what a home is. You're a yosoim from day one. So you were in this orphanage, and you were in this orphanage, and then you came in the dormitory, you got a little older, so you're in the dormitory. Being in a dormitory is not being in a home. When you're in a home, there's a mother, there's a father, there are preparations you make for Shabbos, preparations you make for Yom Tov, there are things that go on, there are fights. You have to know what a home is before you can go and establish your own home. If you're going to go from the dormitory to your chasna, you're not going to know what to do. Okay, you'll say, oh, you know what, you went to visit someone for Shabbos. You know, going to a suda Shabbos is nothing. You have to understand what it's like, what a home is like. I want you to live with me. You'll see what goes on. I fight with my wife, so you'll see what it's like to fight with your wife. You'll get some real experience. So that's the same thing. Over here now, there are different types of homes. There are homes where people just fight the whole day, and there are homes where of nobility. Yonah was brought up in a home of nobility. How do we know that? Because his parents, they took in Eliyahu HaNavi. He wasn't a popular, today Eliyahu HaNavi, what would we not do today to bring Eliyahu HaNavi into our home? He wouldn't even want to come. But what would we not do? In those, Eliyahu HaNavi was not a popular person. He was giving people mussar. No one was interested. Okay, and yet these people, they saw that he doesn't have a penny to his name. He's on the run. They took him in. That's a home of nobility. A child who's brought up in such a home is a different person. That's number one. Number two, he came back from the dead. When you come back from the dead, you're a different type of person. You realize that you're a product of anything is possible. There's nothing that cannot be done. Even coming back from the dead. Hashem sends you on a mission. A mission? It's a suicidal mission. I'm going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to give them Musar. Are they going to listen to me? What is this, a joke? Well, if you're a regular person, that's right, it's a joke. But if you yourself are a product of the impossible, then it's in your DNA that there's nothing that cannot be done. So this is why it's very important to appreciate this Maimer Chazal. Who is Yonah? He's not your average guy. There are two important things. He is a product of a home of nobility. Number two, he is a product of a miracle. And such a person has a very different perspective, has a very different DNA, very different, comes from a very different place. And when he goes out on a mission, it's very different. It's not the average fellow. He's able to persevere. He's able to sit in the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. In a way, it's also interesting, he has the chutzpah to rebel. You know, it's quite a chutzpah. Hashem tells you to do this, and I'm not interested. Where does the chutzpah come from? It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. Only a...
Before that?
What?
Did he have other
Nevi'ahs? That we had that discussion before. We had that discussion about Yeravim and Yoash. No, so the Radak seems to indicate that Nevuah took, if he did have another Nevuah, it was later. It was after the story of Yonah.
It's Ashenas, though.
No, that way, so before you came, we went through that whole thing. That's the Radak over there. Ashenas, Lashlishis, he discussed, oh, but what about all the Nevuah? So he gives two answers. Okay, we discussed that before. So that's another question. Did he have other missions? Fine, but it's interesting. He did have chutzpah. Yonah had chutzpah. Hashem tells you to do something. Oh, I'm not interested.
Where does that chutzpah come from? Where does it come from? Well, he is a different type of person. You have to appreciate that he came back from the dead. And coming back from the dead is quite a chutzpah. Okay, it works two ways. It works two ways. You can accomplish the impossible, and you also can take something that's possible and make it impossible.
You lose some of the fear of that.
It goes two ways. Right, you go, that's a very important point, that this person, Yonah, comes from a very different world. He's a proud of Kriyas HaMesim, and we have to understand that when we're going to see him behave and succeed in very different ways.
The student of the Holocaust also, they have some Kedushah.
Some people had incredible chutzpah, incredible stamina. Okay, you got to read the book about Leo Zisman. Leo Zisman, you got to read the chutzpah he had. Okay, his wife, he published this on an almana, that he's a Holocaust survivor. He published it 2 years ago, a very fascinating book about his story. It's a story of chutzpah. Incredible chutzpah of how he survived. Fascinating. You're right. Okay. Period. That's mitzad his mother. His mother was Shevet Osher. Ishruni Bonois. Okay, the Bonois will make me happy. They will be happy. And maybe Ishruni Bonois refers to his mother, the mother of Elisha. Umitzad Aviv, Hayim Shevet Zuvulun, from his father. This dovetails with what we just said before. Amachal Bimatzliach. And this dovetails with what it says in the Radak. The Radak says that he came from Shevet Zvulun. Where is Gas HaChefer? We learned before. Vigita Chefer Hoy Begvul Zvulun. Mavor Bemalachim Sham Shuhu Hoya Asher Moshach Es Yehu. Who another? Now here we have another thing from. We're learning another insight from the Malbim. He had another mission. He was the one who anointed Yehu to be the king. Funibe Lirom ben Yoash. Okay, this is something that we learned in the Radak. He was the one. Another thing that you know is he was the one that was Moshach es Yehu, the one that predicted that Yehu would be the king. Was Achia Hashiloini. Okay, Achia Hashiloini was the Navi who predicted that Yehu would be king, but the one that actually anointed Yehu was Yonah. Okay, so he had experience with dealing with kings. That's very important, because he's going here to the king of Nineveh. He is going to the king of Nineveh to talk to him. So he knows what Malchus is all about, because he himself was the one that was Moshach, anointed Yehu ben Nimshi to be a king. So he has experience dealing with Malchus, not the Malchus of the Umma Yisraelim, but the Malchus of Yisrael. And nevertheless, Malchus is Malchus. Number two, he learns Vunibe Liram and Yoash Yoshiv as Gvul Yisrael Meloi Hamas Adnachal Harava. He also predicted, he also gave over a prophecy, the day will come later on that Yeravam ben Yoash would be victorious in battle and restore land that was taken away from Klal Yisrael. V'chol zeh, so he has quite a resume. Look at this resume he has. He comes from the best yichus, Osher and Zevulun. Contrast to the last sefer we learned. He came, Ovadia. Ovadia was a ger tzedek. He comes from Zevulun and Osher. And he's the son of a woman that was brought back to life by Eliyahu Hanavi. So, also, you know, besides the fact that he came back to life, besides the fact that he was brought up in a noble home, he also had a shaychus to Eliyahu Hanavi. That itself speaks again. I got a bracha from Rav Moshe Feinstein. I got a bracha from the Satmar Rav. People, they have such pride in whom they got a bracha from. That also speaks volumes. I have a direct connection to Eliyahu Hanavi. So he comes from a home. He himself came back from the dead. He has shaychus with Eliyahu Hanavi. He has gevaldige yichus, Shevet Osher and Shevet Zevulun. And he gave over other prophecy about Yerov ben Yoash. And he himself was the one who poured the oil. He's the one who picked up the flask of oil and he poured over the head of Yehu, of Yehu ben Nimshi. So this fellow here has quite a resume. His resume is second to none. If there's anyone now that will succeed, could be a candidate to go to Nineveh to give over a message, you cannot find a better candidate for the mission.
Both of them will be Shevati.
Let's go further. Both Shevat, right? V'hu nibe liyom en yoa, sheyosha es kul yisho melua chamos anachal arava. V'chol zeh, look at that, Rabbi Yisai. The resume, you could throw the resume in the garbage. V'chol zeh. Lo Yehoyel did not make one bit of a difference. Why? Ki Yisrael lo Yishavu b'shuva ad shahayu muchanim leleich b'gbagolos. He was unsuccessful. Yisrael lo Yishavu b'shuva. The Jewish people did not learn a lesson from this story. Ad shahayu muchanim leleich b'gagolos al yedei melech Ashur, until they were prepared to go into Golos from melech Ashur. Kvar hayu Ashur moish aleihem l'chein omar lo Hashem. And that's why Hashem said to them. Now, here, right away, Hashem said, now he says over here, something we just read over here is a little bit difficult, and that's what he's going over here in Pasuk, he's leading the Pasuk base. We learned the Radak, and the Radak asked the question, what in the world is Sefer Yonah doing in Tanakh? There is absolutely no mention of anything about Klal Yisrael in Sefer Yonah. And the assumption is, the premise is that say the Nevi'im are only dealing with Klal Yisrael. They're not dealing with the Umma Yisraelim. So why is this Sefer here in Tanakh? So the Radak gave, one of his answers he gave is, it's a lesson for Klal Yisrael. It's a Musar Haskel for Klal Yisrael. Look at the Umma Yisraelim, they did Teshuvah. How much more so should we do Teshuvah? The Malbim is starting where the Radak left off. That despite all of this, that what he's doing for the Umma Yisraelam, it's really only for Klal Yisrael, and yet Yonah failed. Yonah was unable through this entire story to extract the lesson that was necessary for Klal Yisrael to prevent them from the loss of the Aseres HaShvatim. This took place, Rabbi Abernel, we'll spend some time on it a little bit later, Rabbi Abernel, this event took place in the middle of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvat. The Aseres HaShvat did not go into Golos overnight. It was a prolonged period of time. There were three waves of exile. And this event took place smack in the middle. And this event was according to the Malbim and other commentators, was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing in the eyes of the world, of Klal Yisrael, to wake them up and to learn Musar from what is happening in Nineveh, so that they themselves should do Teshuvah, so they will not all go into Golos through Ashur. And it didn't work. So now he goes for the next Pasuk. V'loy matzanu b'shumokam, over here in Pasuk Beis, Kinnin Malm, v'loy matzanu b'shumokam sh'yishach Hashem Navi m'b'nei Yisrael b'fratus sh'yelech el medina min ha'umayis l'hachzir ha'isam b'shuv. It's exactly what Radak said. Ki zeh rak miyuchud li Yisrael she'cholo bom hashkocha ho'elokis. Only by Klal Yisrael is there hashkocha, k'moy sh'am chazal, u'migu m'farish ki agoy mo'ila sh'ata yosh o'isa el me'oinonim yishmo, v'yat lo'chein. You, Klal Yisrael, you're not so. Hashem protects you, Navi. So now the question is, so why is Nineveh different than all of the other prophets? Who cares? They're not Jews. To suppress his Nevuah. He's asked all the basic questions. Madu Amar Kro Leho, Vloperash Loy Mayigra, Vapa Masheni Amar Ukro Leho, as a Kuya Shar Nochi Dover Leho. And Hashem had to say to him a second time, you shall read. And the answer to all of these questions is, Kum Lechel Ninve Kro Leho, Shayosha Beshuva, Vlohoya Hashlichos Beshul Ninve. Okay, so this we're going to have to wait until it's ready over our time. He now goes into the answer. He now goes into the answer to explain in his marach here for the next two pages what exactly is going on, and that we will pick up in Yirtz Hashem tomorrow.
But indirectly, it comes out that when he went to Nineveh, He built them up that they later...
Well, that's what we learned last week. That was what the Rashi said. Rashi and the Mitzvah says is that the only reason why this Nevuah was said was because Hashem needed Asher to punish Klal Yisrael. And they have to be at a spiritual level to do so, and they were faltering. So it's just to repair Hashem Shevet Evrosai, his rod. They were holding Mahalach.
He says that also, but the Pasuk Aleph a little bit also.
Right, but it's not 100%. Right? But that what you just said is a whole different approach. That was Rashi and the Mitzudos that we learned last week.
Tomorrow, all right. Tomorrow, they might be cleaning the floor here.
Be in the back, okay.